Praise the Lord. We are so happy to be in the presence of Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the living God. Jesus Christ came on earth, the Son of God, the Son of the very God, the very Son of God, to bring us to God, to bring us together, to have hope of eternal life. We do have it already, and the fulfillment of this hope will be when we leave this earth to be with Christ forevermore. And the passage of the scripture that we are using this morning reminds us of the grace of God and also how we must humble ourselves before God. And when Jesus came on this earth, truly it was the Trinity who came. And because He is the loving Father, He is the Counselor, the Mighty God, according to Isaiah chapter 7 and Isaiah chapter 9, and Jesus is the Mighty God who came in the flesh. He is the Son of God. And according to the theology of the Hebrews, they understand very well that the statement that Jesus has made when He said, "I am the Son of God," they understood so well that means He is God Himself. And they picked up some stone to stone Him. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you stoning Me?" And they say, "I'm stoning you not because of the works that you have done, but because you as men make yourself God." That is the contrary. Jesus is God who became man among us because He loves us so much. The Bible says also in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is a mystery revealed to us plainly, so we may understand clearly that Jesus is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. And this morning we will see a parallel between Simon, a Pharisee, and also a woman who came to meet with Jesus Christ. Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus, as you just read the scripture, and he invited Jesus to come for a dinner. That was good. Jesus did not revamp that invitation. But he accepted, and when he came there, but actually that woman did not know. That woman's family realized that Jesus was there at the house of the Pharisee. Without any invitation, she came. Because she probably has heard about Christ, has heard about the many miracles that Jesus did. And she was looking for some consolation. She was looking for inner relief because she was tired of living in the condition she was. And she heard about that invitation and she came. And when she came, she did something that reveals to us today what it means to worship with a contrite heart. Actually, we have to correct the title of the message. That wasn't broken worship. Actually, does it make really sense to have broken worship, you know? But actually, it is contrite worship. Contrite worship. Somebody who came, who understood that there is nothing to do to deserve heaven, to deserve forgiveness. And that woman actually knew about that. I don't know how, but finally, because of what she has seen so far, then she realized that Jesus is not a mere man. He is more than a man. He is more than a prophet. And Jesus' office actually fulfills everything. And so she came. And when she came, the Bible says in the book, we have several stories actually. In John chapter 12, for example, we have one a woman who came with a perfume and anointed Jesus' feet. And so now this passage again, we find another one, different woman and different Simon. And this Simon actually is the Pharisee, not the Simon the leper. And when that woman came there, and she came with the purpose of worship. She came with a broken heart. A young woman, we don't know exactly how old that woman, but we understand that the Bible says here that she was a sinner. And Jesus is still in the business of changing people's status. And Jesus is still in the business of changing perfect sinner into perfect saint. Let me repeat again. Jesus is in the business of changing, of transforming perfect sinners into perfect saints. That woman actually was one of them, and I was one of them. I was one of the perfect sinners on earth. But someday, and Jesus put his hand on me, and I met with him, and he saved my life forever. And here, now I'm no longer a perfect sinner, but I am, but according to my position with Christ, I am a perfect saint. Because Jesus says that I am forgiven. And I believe this morning that if you are a Christian believer, if you are if you are among those who believe in Jesus Christ, be confident this morning that you are a perfect saint. Not because of what you have done, but what Jesus has done for you. Two different eyes. Simon saw Jesus as a mere man, not even a prophet. If you look at that passage, within himself, he said, if this man was a prophet, he would know who is touching him, verse 39, and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. First of all, that is judgmental. Yes, she was a sinner. She is a sinner. And also, judgmental to the point that he criticized Jesus. In other words, Jesus, for him, is not even a prophet. And Jesus actually, praise the Lord, Jesus knows exactly what that man was thinking about. And you know why? Because he is God. He is omniscient. I mean, he is omniscient, and also he is omnipresent, and he is also omnipotent. Biblically speaking, this is what it is. And Jesus knew what was going on in the heart of Simon the Pharisee. It is not good to be a religious person. It is good to be to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Anyone can be religious. But to be a Christian, the Bible says that you must be born again. The biggest problem of humankind is the problem of heart. Heart is the biggest problem because that is exactly where it is the seed of sins. Heart is the seed of emotion. But Jesus knows exactly that Pharisee's heart, what he was thinking about. And that's why Jesus says, Simon, I have something to tell you. First of all, that Pharisee judged. Not only did he judge that woman, because it seems that everybody in the town knew that woman was a sinner. That was her reputation. And at the same time, that Pharisee, instead of looking, instead of observing what Jesus has done, he saw Jesus in different angle. He is not even a prophet. Now Jesus now says, Simon, I have something to tell you. And then Jesus explains, Jesus gives the analogy, and then so they can understand, so Simon understand. And he says, yes, you have well said. Someone owes 500 shekels, or 500 denarius, and you know, the other one owes only 50. But now, who do you believe? That those two debtors, you know, have been free, and those debts have been paid. Who do you believe that loves more? And the one that owes 500, you have said well. Now, understand very well that who really actually was a sinner? The Pharisee was the worst one. Because he relied on himself. He relied on his own righteousness instead of relying on God himself. And a real worshiper actually is not someone who is a religious person. It's someone who has a broken heart. Someone who has a contrite heart. We are approaching the Easter time. Today is called Palm Sunday. Since I will not be here every Sunday, but that's why I say, let me choose that passage there after I prayed and realized that it is very important to know, you know, what that passage actually means. The Bible is pregnant with great worshippers, genuine worshippers, such as Abraham. Number one, Abel. Abel was one who offered something that is really pleasant to God when he offered his sacrifice, and Cain offered his. And then finally, Abel's sacrifice was accepted. After that, we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hannah, who was praying to God. The Bible is really filled with people who understood what worship is all about. This morning, again, people may come to worship, but how do we come to God? Do we see ourselves as someone who has never committed sins? I found some people said, I have never committed sin in my life. I say, really? The guy is 50 years old and older. He has never committed any sin in his life. The Bible says that we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. Now, how do we come to God? First of all, as we look at that woman, she came again with a humble heart. What does the Bible say previously in the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 4? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And poor here, the Bible has two words for poor, and two Greek words for poor. One is tokos, which means someone who has nothing, someone who depends completely on someone else to give something. And usually, have you ever seen poor people? They have a cup, empty cup in their hand as they beg for something. Because for them said they do not feel worthy to touch their hands with the giver. So then he has or she has to have an empty cup, so to put something there. That is a sign of humility. And so this is what tokos. This is somebody who has nothing, who depends totally on someone else to give something. Now, no matter how much money you have, you may have millions, billions of dollars, but this really cannot take you to heaven. You may build hospitals and colleges and anything to serve, and you can be even among those philanthropists. But the only thing that you need is a broken or contrite heart to come to God. That woman understood very well that. And also the Bible continues to have three first few verses in the book of Matthew chapter 5. The second one is, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That woman was mourning over her sins. I don't know how many sins she has committed in her life. Lying, cheating, anything you can name of that is unrighteous before God. But let me tell you, even committed crime But let me tell you, the blood of Jesus is able to forgive all your sins. The blood of Christ is able to make you a brand new person. And why? It's not only to be forgiven, but the Lord promises that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Even beyond the grave, you have hope of eternal life. That woman came. What's something very important that I want to mention with that passage, that how that woman came to Christ, Luke chapter 7 again. The Bible says that when she came, she stood behind Jesus Christ, verse 38. Same thing we found also, she stood behind Jesus. Why? Because she knew who she was. She knew who she was. Is that wonderful or humble? She knew who she was. That's why she came behind. Same thing as the woman who had the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, there was a woman who had an issue of blood. So, the Bible says that she spent all she had, but could not find a cure for her disease. And finally, the Bible says that when she heard about Jesus, and she met Christ, and then the Bible says that she came behind Jesus to touch Jesus' garment. And so when she did that, that was actually in the book of Mark chapter 5. And the Bible says, when she heard about Jesus, verse 27, she came up behind Him, behind Jesus in the crowd. In other words, that is the sign of humility. In other words, Lord, I am not worthy to stand before You. You are so holy. So then, I come behind. That is the sign of humility right there. Then, second, not only did she come behind Jesus, but also the Bible says that she was weeping. When you look at that woman there, she was weeping. She was mourning. Over what? Absolutely over her sins, because she knew who she was. She was weeping. And then the Bible says that she used her tears to cleanse, in other words, Jesus' feet. Then after that, what she did was another perfect example. She took her hair to wipe Jesus' feet. Wonderful. What does that mean? Not only did that woman throw herself at the feet of Christ, but also her beauty. We don't know how many men this woman passed already. Maybe first, second, third, fourth, fifth. Nobody knows exactly what happened in her life. But the Bible says that she was a prostitute. Wow. So, we don't know exactly how many men. But finally she felt that. Finally she realized that she was in the wrong path. And finally, she came to Christ with a broken heart, crying. Lord, everybody says that I'm beautiful. Everybody says I have nice, beautiful teeth. Everybody says that I walk nice. Everybody says that I speak well. Everybody says that I have a beautiful voice. But none of them love me really. All of them deceive me. But this time, Lord, I throw not only my inside, but also my outside, my beauty. Is that wonderful when you throw your beauty at the feet of Christ? Why? Because He knows people's heart. Nobody knows. People may have beautiful face. People may look like beautiful and nice and quiet and everything like that. But Jesus knows everybody's heart. He knows very, very well who I am and who you are. Nobody can deceive. Look at with me what I'm saying is found in the book of John, chapter 2, verse 24-25. John chapter 2, verse 24-25. What great testimony we have about Christ Jesus. John chapter 2, verse 24-25. But Jesus would not entrust. Let me, for the sake of understanding. Verse 23. Now while He was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs He was doing and believed in His name. But Jesus would not entrust Himself to them, for He knew all men. He is omniscient. He knew all men. He did not need men's testimony about men, for he knew what was in men. Powerful scripture. Isn't that wonderful? He knows everybody's heart. He doesn't want the Pharisee to say that that woman is a sinner. First of all, that woman knew who she was. Jesus knew who she was also. Wonderful. So Jesus knows everybody. He knows. So that was the big reproach. So that woman sees Jesus as not only a prophet, but also Jehovah Rapha, a healer. Jehovah Rapha, a healer. Or Jehovah Jireh, a provider. But yet, Simon, that religious person, look at Jesus, he didn't see anything. Same thing with the thieves at the cross. One saw Jesus as the King of Kings, one who would come in the kingdom, one who would give forgiveness for sins, and the other one said, if you are the Son of God, you know, release yourself and release me. Jesus said, don't you have any fear for God? See, two different eyes. Today, how can we see Jesus this morning? Can we see Jesus as a mailman, just a politician, or just a religious person, just a founder of religion? Or can we see Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Lamb of God? He is the sacrifice and also he is the high priest. The one who can forgive sins. Who is this man who can even forgive sins, the text says? Who is he who can even forgive? Because the only one who can forgive sin is God himself. Is that wonderful? So Jesus loves you so much. He loves me so much. He loves us so much. Amen. So he went to the cross to die for our sins. He suffered because that was his purpose to come. He came to save those who are in need of salvation. Oh, probably some people are so religious, they don't need salvation. But let me tell you, we all do need salvation. Because we know salvation is not something for this earth only, but salvation is something beyond this life. Because what we see here actually is just an illusion of life. But the real life is when we are with Christ Jesus our Lord. We can begin to feel the sense of that relationship when we are in Christ Jesus. So, in Luke chapter 7, as we continue to see, and Jesus says something about that. Jesus blames Simon. Simon was not a hospitable man. In other words, the guy was a Pharisee, but he was not really the son of Abraham. Because Abraham was a man who had what we call hospitality. He was a hospitable man. Abraham. Yes, because Abraham knows how to receive people. His wife Sarah knows how to receive people. Remember those three people who came to Abraham, the book of Genesis chapter 18? When you look at that passage there, it talks about hospitality. Come on, Sarah, come on, cook this. And then, so Abraham went to the field to find a tender sheep, you know, to cook for those three men. And who they were? That was the divine visitation. So, but that Pharisee was not the son of Abraham. We don't know whose son was that. But that woman was the son of Abraham. Okay, Simon, you don't want to receive me. That's fine. You can understand Jesus' language. But that woman, look. And it was amazing. That woman, they criticized him for the perfume. Because after she did all this, the Bible says that she had an alabaster jar filled with perfume. She broke it. That was the most expensive perfume she had. Not only did she give herself, her beauty, but also her wealth. She just poured it at Jesus' feet, poured at Jesus' head. Just, in other words, showered Jesus with that beautiful perfume. And Jesus said, Simon, let me tell you something. Since I came here, you did not Hallelujah. Say, you did not give me any water to wash my feet. But this woman, since she came here, she used her tears to wipe, and then after that, wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss. That was the costume. That was the way people do in the East. You know, and then the kiss, not kind of kiss, but the kiss of hospitality, kiss of love. So, you did not give me any kiss, but this woman, you know, this woman, she did not stop to kiss my feet. You know, when you look at that passage, it would look quite negative to see something like that. But it was normal in the East at that time. And then, therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. That woman did not even defend herself when she poured that perfume. People begin to criticize her. Is that wonderful when you begin to worship God, when you give yourself totally to God, when you surrender your beauty, your soul, your everything to Christ? He is the one who will defend you. He is your defender. He is your the one, the leader who can defend you, who can advocate for you. When you really, totally will worship is when you surrender your life, your wealth, your beauty to Christ. Because when you surrender all this to Christ, He is the one taking care. You know, sometimes we just put some people there, don't know, they trust their beauty to someone else, and after that they become ugly. You know, don't throw your beauty, you know, to someone else like that. Don't do that. Throw your beauty to someone that you don't even know. Pray to God, because God knows exactly the heart of that person going to throw your beauty. Some men, they become so old. Their 20s, they become old. Like 95, 96, 120 years old. While they are only 29, 25. You know why? Because they throw their beauty at the feet of a woman they should not. Oh, women, beautiful women, and after 5 years of marriage, 10 years of marriage, they become, oh. Why? How old are you, 20 now? How old are you, 35, 40? But you look, are you 102? You know why? Because they didn't know how to choose. Before you choose any, before you trust somebody with your beauty, number one, throw your beauty at the feet of Christ. Christ, you know everybody's heart. We don't know. People may look nice outside, but inside you don't know. Sometimes you go there and then that is your last chance. Then you, believe me, some marriage before you even think about that, some people, they should have their coffin right on their other arm like that. You don't need a coffin. You need a nice, good relationship. Some people, they stay home, but they don't leave home. There's a difference between staying home and leaving home. You may stay home, but you are not leaving. So, therefore, my brothers and sisters in Christ, be careful who you throw your beauty at. Be careful. Pray. People may have nice words. You know, Satan will never come to you with a nice, you know, will never come to you ugly. Red eyes. You know, with some horns like that. No. He comes to deceive you. People are deceived because what they did, it looks so true. Have you made a photocopy of a $20 bill? Look, it looks almost the same. People are not deceived, you know, when something that is ugly. People are deceived something that is attractive. People are deceived something that looks true. And Satan will never come, you know, with a mean face like that with phone. No. Satan always comes nice and beautiful. Nice words. Oh, yeah. Then. Oh, yeah. Nice. Then you think that it's okay. And then you get deceived. So, Lord, you know that man's heart. You know that woman's heart. Can I approach or not? Believe me, the Lord will reveal who that person is. He can't hide himself for a long, long time. People who are wicked cannot lie all the time. Something, it will be revealed anyway who that person is. So then you would go back again to your family when you get married. Even to sign some contract, even to have business with a partner, you need Two, make sure you pray and ask God for guidance first. Ask God for wisdom first. Because you don't want to throw yourself in trouble and lose your $100 million or $50 million in the kind of business. So, go back to the text. So, the worship. Since that woman came, she humbled herself. And first of all, the Bible says that her sins were forgiven. That must be God. Who can forgive sins? Only God. Jesus must be God. If he can say, I am the resurrection, he must be God. No man can say that. No prophet can say that. No prophet can utter such a word. I am the resurrection. There is no leaders in the world, no religious leaders in the whole world. If you know one, please let me know. Whoever died and rose again except Jesus Christ. He is the only leader who knows exactly people's heart, who knows exactly people's life. No one else. People may find their religion, their leaders are dead bones under the grave. But Christ Jesus is risen from the dead. He is the true leader we can follow. He is worthy to be worshipped. He is the Lord of lords, the King of kings. So, therefore today, all we need is forgiveness for our sins. And we are not, when we come to the church, we don't come to be judged. We don't come to be accused of anyone. No, we come before the throne of grace. Not before the throne of judgment. You go to hell. You go to hell. Of course, hell is there. But that's not the place for movement for you and I to go. Hell was not prepared for you and I. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what the Bible says. In other words, so if we believe in Jesus Christ, we will not die in our sins. We will have forgiveness for our sins. Jesus forgave that woman's sin. And after he forgave that woman's sin, guess what he says, what Jesus says after that. And the second word was, your faith has saved you. The only faith that gives salvation to humankind is the faith in Jesus Christ. Any faith you have may fail. Any faith will lead you to a place where the presence of God will not be. But if you believe in Jesus Christ, certainly your sins are forgiven. Certainly you are saved to go to heaven. And certainly you will have peace within. Debt. Sins is a big debt. Sin is a huge debt that no one else can pay. It's a debt that requires a salary, which is judgment and condemnation. But Christ's blood is shed for you and I. We can trust Christ to forgive our sins. Yes, we can. Because he is able to forgive sins and he is able to save people. Save from condemnation. Save from what we call katakrima. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those. Therefore, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We were all condemned. But now, because of Christ Jesus, because he is the one who is the Lamb of God, now you and I, we have salvation. We are saved. Some people don't know if they are saved. Them still, they go to church, they pray, pray for them, they accept Jesus. Are you saved? I'm not sure. How do you? If you're not sure today, you must make sure that you have salvation if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That woman there did an action, did a deed that nobody else did. Her beauty, her wealth, which is the perfume. At that time, the perfume, you didn't know how much money the perfume cost. But they evaluated that perfume at that time was about $40. That was a huge money. 400 years ago, Manhattan was sold for $20. The whole island for $20. When now, you can imagine 2,000 years ago, $40, that was a great fortune. But that woman did not care because Jesus saved her life. She found forgiveness. She was seeking for forgiveness. Some people may never forgive you for what you have done to them. If they don't have a heart of forgiveness, a forgiving heart. But Jesus Christ is promising you forgiveness if you come to him, if you throw yourself at his feet. He blamed Simon. It was, believe me, there was no talk at all about the dinner, about the invitation. Everything was focused on the worship of that woman. And Jesus said, you never did that to me. You did not give me water to wash my feet. You did not put oil. You did not do this. But that woman there, God knows exactly how we come to worship him. That woman there. Wow, Jesus is still seeking people to save. But only those who are mourning for righteousness. Those who are mourning for forgiveness. Then the third gift that woman had was the gift of peace. Shalom. Irony. Shalom. And shalom actually is not only the word for peace in the Hebrew language, but also it means the wholeness of individual. That's what the word means. Wholeness of individual. Not only peace, but also shalom means prosperity, health. That's what it means. Security, safety. When you are in Christ, the Bible says you have everything. In the book of Colossians chapter 2 verse 10, it says, in Christ you are complete. And also in Psalm 20, the 23rd Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack anything. So when you are in Christ, you have the complete shalom. So that woman there, because of her faith, amen, she has shalom, peace. In other words, there is no conflict when you believe that Christ is your Lord and Savior. There is no conflict at all. You are relieved. You are free because your sins are forgiven. And now, the discussion to finish is found in the book of John chapter 8. Jesus was discussing with the Pharisees. People were following the law. People who believe that they are so holy, they cannot even touch this and touch that. That is really deceitful. In John chapter 8, Jesus was, while he was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, verse 23, to the scribes and the Pharisees, this is what he says. Trust the Bible. The Bible is the word of God. John 8 verse 23. Jesus says, you are from below. And I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world, Jesus says. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am. That I'm reading from the NIV Bible. And if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. The best thing you can do for your life is to believe in Jesus Christ. The number one step. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believe me, you have the full peace. You have the package. Nice, good package of love within which you find peace and forgiveness and everything. If you believe, you will not die in your sins. All you have to do, number one, is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Lamb of God. If you come with a humble heart to him, believe me, in heaven, there will be no proud people. Today, I'm proud of this, I'm proud of that, I'm proud being this, I'm proud of American, I'm proud of this, proud of that. Believe me, in heaven, there is no vocabulary like that, pride. You will not find a word like that, pride. So it is humble. People who come to church, people who are seeking after the Lord, are the people who are meek. They said, are they meek? So they shall inherit, right? The earth. So people who are meek, church people are humble people. Church people are people who admit who they are and they throw themselves to Christ. In other words, it doesn't mean that every day we don't sin. Yes, of course we do. Why? Because we have this flesh. Sometimes we fall short, but we have the Savior who can stand and advocate for us. It doesn't mean that we have a license to sin. This is not what we say. But trust Christ for your forgiveness of sins. I don't know how many people, if you know, can imagine myself, a liar, an ex-liar, ex-adulterer, ex-this and ex-that, but find forgiveness because of Christ's blood. Today, the whole world can be saved. if and only if they accept Christ as Lord and Savior. That's why Jesus came for. That's why he suffered. That's why he died. And that's why he rose again. Brothers and sisters, we are humble people. People do not need salvation. People who do not know who they are because they're not, they flash. The light is not flashing on them to see their condition. You can't be in the presence of God and not being flashed. You can't be in the presence of God without seeing who you are. Unless we are the thief at the cross who said, if you are the Son of God. Unless we are Simon who said, if that man was a prophet, he would know. Jesus is more than a prophet. Jesus is more than a man. Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. And he came because he loves you. He came because he loves me. Let us focus our attention to Christ. Next day, next Sunday, will be the day for the Easter time. And that Easter time, my brother, my sister, that Easter time is a great time. How can I, stay home on Sunday morning and not worship? This is the Sunday, the day of the resurrection. This is the Sunday we must come and worship. We can worship Christ every day. But that Sunday is the solemn day that Christ gives us. Day of victory over sin and death. Day that we no longer under the condemnation, but we are free to serve God. We are free to worship Christ. Christ is indeed our Father. Christ is indeed our God. Why? This is what the Bible says. Philip, show me the Father. Philip says to Jesus, show me the Father, that is enough. Since you've been with me, Philip, you don't know who I am? Don't you know I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Why do you say, show me the Father? Jesus, when he came, that's the Trinity. He is the Son of God. He is the Father. He is the Son. And then the Spirit, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. Wow, that means you don't have to worry about anything, about any attack of this world, once you are in the presence of God. Jesus right there is there. If Jesus were not there, would you think that we would worship? Oh, but because of Christ's presence, Christ's faithfulness, we are here. Believe me, brothers and sisters, today your sins can be forgiven. If only you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Don't trust religions. Religions will not save anybody. Religions cause war in this world. But trust Christ, who is the center of our salvation. Trust Christ, who is the backbone of the church. Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us continue to worship him. At the end, he will say, your salvation is secure. You have peace. That woman went with peace. But that religious leader, he didn't have any peace because he trusts his religion. Don't trust your religion. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then you will be secure. May God richly bless you. Shall we pray once more? Father, you know everyone's heart, and we don't know anything, but your Spirit actually is searching your heart to save. We ask you, Father, that person to whom you are speaking with, may he or she come to the altar of grace to receive salvation, to receive forgiveness. We may never kill anybody, never steal, but you've said in your word that we are all fall short of the glory of God, but by grace we can receive salvation. That is not your desire for anyone to die in his or her sin, but your desire is to save either one, anyone who comes to you. Father, the one that you are calling, may he come forward and receive salvation in Jesus' name. Amen.